I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Peralta Palacio, right across the room through the woods from where Granny's watching the Yankee game and snapping fresh into the Banana Bliss Fresh Press hash rosin in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People trust the plastic bag. Ready to shove it. It's a kind of fashion. Shake it up. Should be all my friends coming off. That's the party. Oh, rats on the west side. Bedbugs uptown. What a mess. It's tied to tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should be shaking. Hey, what's kicking? I'm Pharrell with Carver High this evening. Standing up. Runner on first. One out. 3-1 Red Sox. Top of the sixth. There's a drive. Go ball. Off the top of the wall! No, I thought it was gone! Oh, the humanity!
Man, that's the second one.
Oh, my God. They threw him out at the plate. Oh, my God.
Man, that's the second ball he hit off the top of the wall tonight.
You got to be kidding me.
Listen, I'm just going to say this. He can't. Look, I know they're trying to be aggressive there. You can't send him there. You're going to have second and third, one out. You've got a chance to get back in this game. That is way too an aggressive send this late in the game. Early, second inning, third inning, whatever. This is the sixth inning. You're back in the game. That's a bad send right there. That's an awful send.
Well, one awful thing I want to ask is, yeah, he's out. He's dead meat. There's no questions asked on that. He's out.
You cannot send him there. They should fire Nevin now. They shouldn't even let it. They should replace him in the seventh inning. Have a new third base coach. You cannot
send him there when he's dead to rights off the wall.
I mean, you're second and third, one out. Down two. You got things moving here. Homer. Infield single, double off the wall.
They're showing Nevin now. They're showing him.
Stupid. Stupid.
They're showing him. They're deadpanning right on him right now that he sent him. And guess who's up? Strikeout King Gallo. He strikes out every time he's up. The guy hasn't had a hit in 3 months. This guy strikes out more than any player in baseball. I mean, he is an absolute whiff king.
Yeah.
He's terrible. I don't care what anybody says with his 38 home runs. You know why he hits 38 home runs? This is a famous line I always use. Because he gets 600 at-bats. I mean, you do the math. If you have, you know, 575 at-bats every season, you're bound to hit 38 home runs. You know what I mean? The guy's all he does is
a home run or
swinging.
A strikeout. Home run, strikeout, walk. Only three outcomes.
I mean, yeah, well, he doesn't walk either. He just strikes out. We welcome our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090, and San Diego Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces. Wow. I cannot believe Nevin sent him. What a terrible send by Nevin. You're right. Fire his ass. That is such a terrible call by the third base coach. Like, what are you doing, bro? The ball's off the top of the wall. They're showing him again, too. This is like, and now look who's right behind him, Boone. They're showing a double shot of Nevin standing right in front of Boone. I mean, that was the worst send I've ever seen in my life. You knew he was out, dead to rights, when he threw the ball, and you couldn't even see him in the picture.
It was embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Why would you send him right here? You got to stop him. What are you doing? I mean, that was terrible. Honestly, dude. I think he just cost him the game. I think he cost him the game. But look at those chicks by the Yankees dugout. They're hot. Here's another out by Gallo. He's the worst.
They ruined this inning.
Effing worst. They need to get rid of him, dude. Get rid of Gallo. He sucks. Honestly, and I'm not saying it because of tonight. I'm saying it because of every night. Every night he's an out waiting to happen. The guy strikes out more than anyone I've ever seen in my life. You can't even argue it.
I cannot
and
believe
Stan
he sent him
knew. That. Stan knew that it was stupid of Nevin to send him.
Oh yeah, man. Stan missed two off the top of the wall tonight. Both look like homers. Ugh, two balls. The first inning in that one, he hit off the top of the wall. Jeez.
I haven't even started talking about Garrett Cole.
Oh, we didn't even
get
to Cole. And there's still a long way to go here. The Yankee bullpen has completely, listen, they stabilized after Cole was dreadful at the beginning of this game, and they've gotten one run back. They got nine outs left to try to get this done.
I'm sick to my stomach over that send. I really am. I literally am sick to my stomach. What's worse is my son hates the Yankees, and I love them, so I hate him. I just wanted to say that at this point on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. It's 3-1 Red Sox in the bottom of the sixth. Devers is up. Nobody on, nobody out. Full count. Severino pitching. And frankly, I think Severino's done a good job since he came back from the Tommy John, a month ago. I think he's done a good job in middle relief for sure. His stuff's filthy. Just struck out Devers. And Clay Holmes, I like him too. There's no doubt about his talent. I think he's got a nice upside. I think they'll keep him. I think the biggest problem I have tonight is Garrett Cole. It is unbelievable to me. I cannot even fathom this guy with his two innings, four hits, three earned runs, two walks, three strikeouts, and two home runs, one to Bogarts, and one to Schwarber, an ERA of 13.50. I mean, the guy flat out does not win big games. And he's 1-5, I think, in Fenway. I think he's as a Yankee, right? And then last year in game 5 against the Rays, he lost elimination game. That's a big game. And then tonight is a big game. Last week against Toronto was a big game in Toronto. And look, I won't deny the Friday night game in Fenway was a big game. But it wasn't as big as this. That was a, you know,
fairly big game to, you know, maintain their place in the wild card race, right? That's what it was. It was the start of a three-game set in Fenway, and he won, right? But that was not a, what I would deem a big game like this. This is a big game. This is a wild card, you know, eliminator game. And they need, you know, they need better from him for sure in big games. And they're paying him $325 million over 7 years. And the guy obviously cheats because he cheated in Houston. And he cheated in New York because he used sticky stuff. His stuff was so much filthier when he used the stick. That's all there is to it, Carver High. The guy cheats. That's why he's so good. He's a cheater. And everybody knows it. And when they stopped the stick'em and everybody had to show their hats and gloves and belts, his whole game changed. And he's adapted to pitching without it, but he's never been dominant without it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was even more going on down in Houston, just looking at him and Verlander. But, you know, we don't, I'm not going to throw serious accusations there. Clearly, Spider-Tack might have been that as well. He's had two good starts since they took the sticky stuff away. That's it. I mean, two dominant starts. Everything else has been
Saturday night in Houston.
The Saturday night in Houston, and he had the game in L.A. Like the first week in September where he had the 15 strikeouts in 7 innings or something like that. So he's had two dominant performances since that all happened. And look,
was that against Anaheim?
That was against Anaheim, yes. Out there in L.A.
All right, go ahead. But, so look, he what?
Look, he in big spots, when you're getting paid the type of money that he's getting paid, these are the games when you have to pitch your best. Now, last year, he made three starts in the playoffs. He won his first two games, the Cleveland game and the game one against Tampa. I'll throw you the bone here. They scored a ton of runs in those games. You know, they scored. That was one game where they actually scored 9 runs against Tampa. He pitched 6 innings. They won the game. Now, game 5 against Tampa, which was the game they got eliminated, they lost the game 2-1. He gave up 1 run in 6 innings. They didn't hit. So... But tonight, he didn't show up. That's it. I mean, he put him in a hole, and they had to take him out.
The big game.
No.
But he did not win the big game, and that was a big game. A game 5, eliminator game in Tampa, that's a big game, and you can blame whatever you want. They didn't score any runs. Well, he didn't win, and he gave up 2, and that's it. And then tonight, he was all the F over the place. He was everywhere. He didn't have anything working. Not one of his pitches was working consistently at all. He was missing left and right, high, low, outside, inside. He had nothing. He had nothing. As far as I'm concerned, he was terrible. He was atrocious. He couldn't get anybody out, and I thought it was the best move I've ever seen Boone make in his entire time as manager of the Yankees, to walk out there in 2 innings and yank that guy, took some absolute stones. And I think, and now here they are, they're going to score another run. They're going to send a runner, throw him out. Here's the play at the plate, safe. Oh, God, that's a killer right there. Severino gives up the big hit, the double. It's 4-1 now. There goes the 3-run lead down to 2. Now it's back up to 3 again. Oh, my God. I'm going to puke. I am going to puke. Oh, my God. That's the whole key to everything. They just got their 3-run lead again. Who was that, Verdugo?
I got to show him. Bring it back to me here. Yeah, that was Verdugo.
Yeah, it's Verdugo. Did I not tell you today on Coast to Coast they can't let these bums get all these hits?
Yeah.
I don't think he's not some superstar. He's just another hack, and he has this big hit, and they're letting all these guys do whatever they want. I called it today, too. Bogarts with a home run. I can't believe. Oh, my God. I blame Cole for all this. I really do. He gave it. It was 3-0 because of his sorry ass. And they'll never recover from that. On the road at Fenway, you're not recovering from 3-0 down to the Red Sox in their stadium in front of their drunk fans on a one-game eliminator. That's all you need to know. Blame Gerrit Cole. I don't blame Severino for anything. I don't blame anybody. I blame Gerrit Cole. He sucks. The bottom line is he's a thief and a cheater. And the guy is a bank robber. He made $325 million guaranteed over 7 years, and he's never mattered. He just doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, who's getting the outs tonight? Holmes, Severino. He got Devers to strike out. I mean, what did Cole do? Nothing. That's what he did. Absolutely nothing. He put his jacket on and sat in the dugout. Can't even argue it.
No, look, Cole's awful. He did an awful job tonight. But I'd like to see more runs being scored. Again, this is Yankee bats slumbering again in an elimination game. And I've seen it before. And Cole deserves all the blame. Trust me. But I'd like to see him score some runs, too. You know, that's part of the game also. And there's too many times I've seen too many games like this, where they're getting mowed down by Nate Eovaldi. So I'd still like to see runs. I know Cole put him in a bad spot, but I need to see some runs.
Well, there's no doubt they're not scoring any runs, so they're going to lose the game.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. They're not going to win. Bossy, you know what they should do is get as drunk as possible tonight because they're going to lose to the Rays. So they should enjoy this while they can.
Right. The winner of this game is losing.
They should have a big party. They should get as drunk as hell tonight and have fun at Fenway. They're going to have a blast. They're going to go to a few more playoff games at home. They'll have at least 2 more home games automatic, and then they're going to lose to the Rays. Now Loaysica's in, and it doesn't even matter. They're down 4-1 with one out in the sixth and a runner on second. They get him in, it's over. I think it's over already. It's for Allen Avenge. Pharrell on the bench, 4-1 Red Sox, bottom six, one out, 2-1. Loaysica against Shaw right now. The pitching and hitting setup. So it's all Boston tonight. Thanks to Gerrit Cole giving up 3 runs early and 2 gigantic home runs, Bogarts and Schwarber. Rizzo with the lone run for the Yankees with a home run to right. Rick Haro is our sports business and legal insider on the bench and on Sports Grid, and he joins us tonight from Miami. I want to start with this. I'm so mad about this baseball game, I don't even want to talk about it. I want to talk about Manny Diaz. I have
something else you're mad about.
Diaz. Well, okay. Let me tell you something. I have good reason to be mad about both. And believe me, you, I'm not wrong about either. And let me tell you something about Manny effing Diaz. That was the worst coaching job I have ever seen in my life. Last Thursday night, when I saw this guy move the ball down the field with Van Dyke twice. The first time they scored when he ran it in from 30 yards out down the sideline, and that made it 30-28. Then they get a 3 right. and out. They get the ball back, and Van Dyke moves them down the field like butter. They had 2 running plays and a pass play on 3rd and 15 that he hooked up for 17 yards. You get down to the 13-yard line of Virginia in your home stadium, and you got 3 minutes left, and you melt the clock down and run 2 plays up the middle and then take a knee, and you bring in a freshman kicker who's standing on the sideline kicking warm-ups and having teammates pat him on the head like he'd already made the kick, and then you run it down to 2 seconds and let that young kid come in under that kind of pressure and kick that ball, and of course he shanked it. And he hit the upright, and it missed. And they lost that game 30-28. I personally, frankly, would have fired him that night because I just don't understand. You tell me, Rick. You're a Kane fan. I'm a Kane fan my whole life. Tell me how in God's name do you decide that's the best course of action for a football team that season is already finished and over and ruined, and then you have an opportunity to at least matter in the ACC, and you screw that up? I mean, I think he should be fired. I can't even believe he hasn't been fired.
Well, I'm not going to deflect it. I'm just going to give you an example from another Miami team a week ago where the Dolphins were in overtime and ready to cash in with a touchdown, and you put the brakes on and you kick the tying field goal. And it's there's something that hits coaches when they're down around the 20 or 30 around the red zone that makes them completely moronic and not operate the way they ought to operate. So maybe he knew something we didn't know, but we knew everything. I mean, it was they were running. They could do anything they wanted to. And the freshman kicker thing was exactly correct. The only difference was this was a Borgalis, and therefore they thought that it would be an extension of his brother, but he's still a freshman.
Well, you know, when he came out on the field, did you think for 1 minute that he was going to make the kick? Because I was live on the air, and I said he was going to miss the kick.
No, I didn't. I didn't even watch it. I didn't even want to watch it because you kind of felt that it was, you know, he's lucky he hit the upright. It was a terrible kick. He was, you know, on the sidelines, as you said. And why do you take a knee? You know, why don't you get it 5 yards closer? Why don't you do something if you're going to – that's a complete wasted play. 5 yards closer makes it easier for a freshman, and if you're going to pursue that, you ought to get it as close as you possibly can.
I mean, they had three plays, and they ran up the middle twice and then took a knee, and they kicked an NFL extra point. It was 33 yards. I just thought that it was terrible coaching, and I just – believe me, you, when I saw it, I was like, and you know what's even worse, is that you saw on the sideline, actually, this guy taking his headset off and, like, literally smiling and laughing with his assistants and players like it was in the bag. Like, they were literally, like, acting like that it was all a given that they were going to win and that it was going to be an easy chip shot, and then he missed it. What was the reaction in Miami, because, you know, I don't live down there anymore? What was it like the next morning? What were the papers like? What was the radio like? What was the TV reaction like? I mean, did anybody call for his head, or did they just love Manny so much because he's, I don't know, why do they like him so much?
Because his father was the mayor of Miami, because he's a hometown guy. And they bailed out Mark Richt when he left the program. And you really don't know what the deal is because they've continued to give him more and more time. The answer to your question, by the way, is the talk shows have been completely and totally relentless. All of a sudden, the program's done. You can't do anything. The ACC Coastal is all Miami is good for as opposed to national championships. It's been 20 years. It's hard to believe. I think it's finally caught up to everybody. As long as they've given them in the last few years, it's finally kind of run out of patience. And now, you know, the Dolphins play Tampa this week, and then the Hurricanes play North Carolina in 2 weeks. Both mad, both having something to prove. It's not a good time to be a fan down here, pal.
Because their season's over. I mean, Miami can't get out of their own way. I will say this. I've been a fan for 40 years. And, you know, that's most of my life. I'm 56. I have followed them through all the glory years, and now suffering through this is torture for me. I've gone to games with you and had a good time. But I have to tell you, considering the recruiting that they allegedly have put together, like they've allegedly done very well in recruiting. You're always hearing about the job that Manny and his staff are doing in Florida to keep the players in state to come to Miami, and that they're loaded. And I got to tell you, the product on the field, you know what it is? It is unloaded. It is an unloaded gun. They are not good. They are not talented. They are not fast. They are not good on defense. They are not good offensively. They need to get rid of that stupid ass, like, hood turnover chain stupidity. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It was good for about 5 minutes. When you never win and you never get turnovers, and then you still wear that stupid thing when you do have one once every 6 weeks, it's embarrassing. They are not good. They're not talented. They're not anything. They suck. And they got to stop acting like they matter in college football because, I mean, to tell you, you know, they're not even as good as Boise State. I mean,
well, they weren't as good as Michigan State. Now the papers are saying Michigan State's 11th in the country, so maybe they were better. Yeah, but maybe the Hurricanes were also worse. And, you know, when you think about the players that they have, apparently there were 9 of the U of M seniors on the Senior Bowl watch list at the beginning of the season. Now there are 3, running back Harris, Bubba Bolden, who is not playing well, and then a defensive lineman that nobody knows. So the question, by the way, this year, which is funny, is not how many Canes will get drafted in the first round, but whether any Canes will be drafted. Whether any Canes will be drafted. That's a hard thing to hear.
Well, whether they'll be drafted. How about none of them will be drafted? Like, what player on that football team is going to the NFL? Like, honestly,
yeah, well,
there isn't one player on the whole team.
No, there's an offensive lineman that's about 360, Donaldson, I think. And, you know, I guess you can single him out. But he gave up the safety last week, remember, by one of those Olé blocks. And he can't get out of your own way. So you can be as big as you want, but if you're not athletic and you don't know how to move and you can't really play very well, then it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's unbelievable how bad they are. I can't even watch them anymore.
But you'll watch because you know when I... You and I will both watch the North Carolina game. You know that. And we'll probably watch other games.
Let me tell you something.
Wow. My friend Harry
at All Canes. The season was starting, and I called him, and I said, or I wrote him or something, a text message or something, and I said, Harry, send me all the new lines of clothes so I can, you know, buy some T-shirts and jerseys and hoodies. I got to get my Canes stuff restocked, right? And then, they lost Alabama, and I was like, all right, whatever. And then they play Appalachian State, and they can barely beat them. Then they lose to Michigan State. I texted him back. I go, never mind, Harry.
I'll catch
up with you again. I said, I'll catch up with you again down the road, which is a nice way of saying, not this year, Harry. I'm not buying anything Miami Canes this year. I'm embarrassed to wear it. I mean, you wear Miami Canes this year, you're the laughing stock. I mean, I got friends abusing me from all angles because I'm a Canes fan. I can't even take it. I got Florida State fans who were, 0-4, and then they finally won a game. I got them making fun of me. Who makes fun of you when you're 1-4? That's how bad Miami sucks. The people are making fun of them that are 1-4. Oh, my God. We'll come back with the Tech and Sports Top 5 with Haro on the bench. All right, Brian, man. So I just want to ask you lastly before I talk bad about the Dolphins and we do the Tech and Sports 5.
yes, sir.
You don't think they're going to fire Manny Diaz? I think they have to fire him at the end of the season.
I didn't say that. I'm just trying to figure out whether he lasts the season. You know, and then if you give him the season and this guy Van Dyke and you know, the guys look good, he still supposedly has a – amazing recruiting class, but if they're supposed to have that recruiting class, they better show in the second half of the year. So I'm thinking, I'm making this up, if he loses 2 more games during the season, he's obviously not going to get into the championship. Doesn't matter, because, you know, Clemson will beat him, even if Clemson's not ranked. But if he doesn't get in the championship, he'll go to some silly bowl. And, you know, so what if they're 7-5? Do they keep him?
No.
Okay.
No.
Probably the right answer.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it is
probably the right answer.
He's so, dude. He is so in over his head in Miami. Now, here's a question for you. Do you think that Urban Meyer would ever, because you think he'll take USC, or do you think he would ever consider Miami? I don't think Miami's a top job anymore.
No, I agree. B, you know, snooping around the last few hours about Urban Meyer, you know, I think he's damaged goods with all the stuff that's going on. So you think that maybe he's resuscitatable. But I will tell you about Urban Meyer, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have a whole plan around downtown development and what they're trying to do to build stuff that is a great residential and development plan, and Urban Meyer's face has been around that. So, you know, first let's see how long it takes before he either turns things around or has outlived his welcome in Jax, and then what happens? I'm not sure he goes back to college. Maybe he goes back to the booth.
Do you think that he'll, because he's under fire big time this week, do you think that he has any chance to upset the Titans in Jacksonville this Sunday? And if he loses, will he get fired then?
Wow. Yeah. Well, if he loses, he's 0-5, and it depends on how he loses. You know, if it there's a loss and then there's a loss. You know, let's segue back to the Dolphins for a second. Those were two of the worst home losses back-to-back at the beginning of a season that I remember since 1966 when they were an expansion team. And they lost their first game at home, and then I think they won their second game at home then. So this may be the first time ever. Lose 35-0 to the Bills, and then you lose this game to the Colts. So there's a way to lose where you stay close. And maybe that saves Urban Meyer, but the hot seat with the Dolphins after they come back, luckily if they lose in Tampa, they go to London. And London and the Jets is a great tonic.
So the game is at Raymond James with the Dolphins this week, and they're getting 10. Are they in big trouble?
Yeah, I think so, don't you? I mean, 10 is a lot of points, but and their defense is supposed to be good, but you know, they blew their first draft picks. You can, by the way, have all the draft capital you want, and for teams that are, quote, tanking or not playing well, to lose deliberately to accumulate a whole bunch of draft picks and then you trade away guys, you know, note to general manager, just because you have some great draft picks, that doesn't mean you're automatically going to be good. You got to score with the draft picks. You can't whiff on them.
Yeah, I think they're awful, too. I don't know who's worse, the Dolphins or the Canes. And I'll say this, that I actually think that Jacoby Brissett is better running the Dolphins than Tua Tagovailoa, to be honest with you. Let's do the sports tax. 76 Capital launches a sports venture capital fund, and it's basically about sports betting, right?
Yeah, it's a fund developed so bets can be done in a $50 billion sports betting industry once all the states pass. The operators are now going to be using part of this fund for investments. It's Arthur Blank with the Falcons. It's Robert Nutting, as you know, with the Pirates. And it's also some players. Westbrook, DeMarco Murray, James Devlin are investors. Emmanuel Sanders, who's still playing, is an investor. And the Ben Franklin Technology Development Authority is also an investor. So this is the first fund that's been created exclusively for the betting industry. So watch more of these to come.
Well, I'm glad Mr. Nutting is spending money on something, because he certainly isn't spending any money on the Pirates.
Man, here you go with another team. You want to talk about the Pirates? No, we don't have enough time. Next.
Well, listen, their payroll is $45 million. It's embarrassing. It's literally embarrassing. The Yankees pay Gerrit Cole $45 million. The entire roster is $45 million.
Yeah, but so is nearly the Rays, and look at them. So it doesn't, you know, just money doesn't buy happiness. I'd rather have money than not money, but, you know, that doesn't mean you're going to be happy.
Money
and
does
that doesn't
buy
mean
happiness.
You can't...
Listen, stop. Of all people,
yeah, all right.
Of all people, just stop. Of all people that I know in my life that have the enjoyment of money, you would be in the top five. Now, I went to an expensive restaurant on Saturday in Atlantic City, and I was eating a tomahawk steak for $80. And believe me, you, when Bill came for $1,000 for two people, you either have money or you don't, and you are not happy unless you are eating an expensive tomahawk steak for $1,000. You better have money, because I don't even know what that means. Money doesn't buy happiness. My ass, I was happy Saturday night with that tomahawk in my belly.
I wouldn't know about eating steak in New York. I was playing golf in Michigan for 3 days.
Who goes to Michigan? Is that a place? Honestly.
Yeah, Traverse City, Acadia Bluffs, Gaylord, where they have the par 3 tournament. But you don't go for football unless you're a Michigan State. Yeah. At college, you go for college football. But, by the way, watching the Lions on Sunday and listening to everybody around me in the bar after the game, there are worse things than being a Dolphin fan, being a Lions fan.
Listen, I agree with that, but I think Michigan is great again, and so is Michigan State, so those people need to calm down. The top Series 2 baseball NFT collection will be released, I guess it was released this week, and they're celebrating their 70th anniversary.
Yeah, they're also celebrating the Way Out baseball. Fanatics outbid them. But it's important because they're not just doing normal baseball cards. They're doing NFT stuff. 2 years ago, we were ready to celebrate or mourn over the death of trading cards. And now, because of NFT and digital trading cards, I don't get it, but a lot of people who listen to the show probably do. And it's important for baseball. And now 70 years of tops, we would go to the store, right, and we would throw the bubble gum away so we would get the cards. And now they live another day.
And how about the NFL? They partnered with Dapper Labs. They're doing NFTs of favorite moments in NFL history.
Yeah, so the Hail Mary, Hail Murray, the all of the big deals are celebrated with NFTs. Just what we need, another way for the NFL to make money.
How about the NFL alumni partners, what they're doing with cognitive assessment app HitCheck?
Yeah, they're trying to figure out exactly how to deal with a user's cognitive function, whether they're able or unable to play based on these results. And so everybody's trying to figure out how to eliminate brain injuries and the dreaded diseases. This doesn't solve the problem, but it's certainly a step in the right direction.
How about Usain Bolt? He hooks up with Tom Brady.
Yeah, Brady had a good week, right? So he's got his own digital and NFT platform called Autograph. It's Bolt, it's Jeter, it's Osaka, Tony Hawk, Tiger Woods, Wayne Gretzky, Simone Biles, all in the middle of this. Bolt is selling his NFTs based on the world's fastest human from $12 to $100. But you don't make money off of an NFT. You make the money off the volume of them, and they're certainly doing the right thing.
Tell me about Phil Knight and Sabrina Ionescu's partnership for NILs with Oregon athletes.
That's a cool thing, and more people are doing it. Remember this afternoon we talked about the Villanova NIL registered license for 24 of their sports, but now Nike and Phil Knight and their top sponsors are attempting to create kind of a classroom for NIL and make it available to Oregon athletes. They're collaborating with the Clutch Sports Group founder, Rich Paul, so you got a lot of basketball knowledge as well. Look for more schools and more people to take us to school on how to deal with NIL.
Well, the Yankees are going to have plenty of time to help 11,000 underprivileged kids in New York. Now that they're going to be eliminated tonight, they can go do another 11,000 underprivileged kids, getting them free internet because they have nothing better to do.
Yeah, well, that's a very nice thought. It's really kind of too bad it's presented that way, but you're right. $1 million toward the activation of free unlimited internet service for them. This is in our Good Sports 5. And the one thing the Yankees have always been doing is being community and philanthropically oriented, and they've got a diversity and inclusion committee, and maybe some of those guys can pitch.
Sophie Goldschmidt was a powerful woman with positions in the NBA, tennis, rugby, PGA Europe, Adidas. Now she's the head of what? Skiing, snowboarding in the U.S.?
U.S. Ski and Snowboard Foundation, president and CEO. Just at the right time, they've been looking for somebody. She's a great manager of people and of a great fundraiser. They're going to need it as they head into the Olympics, as you know, which are just five and a half months away in Beijing. It's already getting cold. We're already ready for the Olympics.
Maybe she can do something smart to start her job, and that's to reverse the stupid name change of Squaw Valley.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that last week. How about that? That's that's a week old, and it hasn't sunk in to people yet that The 1960 Olympics was played at a place whose name was changed. Unbelievable.
You just don't do that. The Jazz and Zoom partnered up.
Yeah. It's a streaming service that they're trying to figure out how to get to as many people as they can post-pandemic. And so Zoom is now the choice, the communications vehicle of choice. 50,000 people worldwide will live stream the Jazz practice. Do 50,000 people want to watch the Jazz practice? That's not the point.
LaMelo Ball started his own scholarship program.
Yeah, with Roc Nation, and he is getting off to a fast start, giving back to the community. It's sports, but it's also entertainment, entrepreneurialism. It's called the Roc Nation School of Music, Sports, and Entertainment. You know, Roc Nation's got a lot of people on the roster. They're going to help do this, and they're doing it right, and they're trying to create some things that other people wouldn't be doing, and LaMelo Ball is in the middle of this.
So, what do you think of the Yankees' season ending?
Well, we're now going through yet another change of pitchers, and as long as Cora doesn't overmanage by taking pitchers out who look pretty good, we're going to have a Rays-Red Sox best of five. On the other side, I think the White Sox are going to not do as well against the Astros as people want. And then the Dodgers-Cardinals is a great game tomorrow night, right? Don't you think? I mean, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. Now that my team's out of it, I don't care anymore about baseball.
Oh, boy, you're not watching a lot of stuff. I'm texting you during the North Carolina game, and you're going to be watching it. I know that.
You know, and the only reason you keep bringing up North Carolina is because your daughter went there. I'm sick of hearing about them, too, honestly.
All right,
I'm going to
fine.
The Steeler-Bronco game. Stay out of my business. Thanks, Rick. Great job.
Bye. See you next week. Bye-bye.
There he is, Rick Haar, our sports business and legal and hot dog insider. Well, Carver High, you'll be pleased to know your Islanders beat the Flyers tonight 3-0. The Panthers 3-2 over the Lightning. Predators in overtime beat the Canes 3-2. Leafs 6-2 over the Habs. That's the Canadians. Stars 3-1 over the Blues. The Penguins 5-4 over the Sabres in a shootout. Right now, Kings in the first, 12.5 left, up 1-0 on the Coyotes. Kraken and Canucks after one, scoreless in Vancouver. And the Knights lead the Avalanche after two periods in Colorado, 4-2. Very exciting night.
1 week from tonight, the real games start. 1 week from tonight, next Tuesday.
That's right. Penguins and Lightning kick it off, and the Lightning will kick the Penguins' teeth in. The Grizzlies lead the Bucks by 10 in a game delayed in Memphis. What happened, Carver High?
Apparently, a fire alarm went off in the arena. They sent all the fans out of the arena. They sent the teams back to the locker room. So you've got some sort of a delay in Memphis.
The Knicks blew out the Pacers 125-104 at the Garden. The Bulls blew out the Cavaliers 131-95. And the Rockets 125-119 over the Wizards. So I'm just looking at this this game here. I think I had the over. I had the over in that Bulls Cavs game at 212.5. And I hit it, and it went up to 216.5 by the end of the day, and they still covered that. It's for all on a bench.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
You live for planning the perfect trip. The thrill of comparing hotels, scoring that impossible reservation, and piecing together an unforgettable itinerary. You already think like a travel advisor, so why not just be one? Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan vacations and help others travel well. As a Fora advisor, you'll be set up for success with best-in-class training, powerful booking tools, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider tips. Fora helps you turn your love of planning vacations into a business with a flexible, meaningful stream of income, with commission on every hotel, cruise, and activity you book. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred partners, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout, giving you and your clients the kind of elevated travel experiences regular travelers simply don't get. Getting started is as easy as booking trips for people you already know. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/earn. That's foratravel.com/earn.